Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek and it's great to have you with us today. We've got a fantastic show on tap for you. Before we talk about it, let's begin with prayer. And as we pray, here's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture that your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, we have the same Heavenly Father, right? He's watching over us right now. So let's pray and let's recognize the fact that He loves us and He just can't wait to hear from us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Father, we know you love us. We know you care about us. We know you are always with us. So we're going to ask you to help us. Help us to face whatever today brings, the challenges, the struggles, the suffering. We know that with you, we can do all things. So we're going to turn our problems over to you, Father, and ask you to bless us, to help us, to protect us, and grant us the grace to be able to share you with everyone that we meet today. We know the world needs to know you better. We know so many people who are suffering. So we ask you to give us the grace and the strength to be able to bring your love to those around us. We ask you to speak through us on the program today. May everything we say here on Spirit in the Morning be your message. So we're going to try to get out of the way and let you speak through us and, of course, open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to the message that you have for us. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm feeling good now that we prayed. I want to tell you a little bit about the show today. I told you it was a good show, and you're going to see. I will deliver on this. We're going to be joined by the author of the new book from Dynamic Catholic. The book is called Praying with a Pen, The Girlfriend's Guide to Stress-Free Prayer Journaling. Mary Beth Weisenberger will be here. In addition, the author of another awesome book, Steve Weidenkopf, he's going to be talking about his new book from Catholic Answers Press, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. So we're going to be delivering some truth today. I also want to mention quickly, tomorrow on the program, in the studio, none other than Kelly Walquist, the founder of Women in the New Evangelization, otherwise known as WINE. They're going to be presenting their National Women's Conference on Saturday, right down the street at Our Lady of Częstochowa Shrine. We, from Spirit in the Morning, are going to be there broadcasting live. Also on the program tomorrow, Becky Roach from Catholic Link. She wrote an interesting article, and I wanted to get her on the show. It's called 15 Bible Verses Catholics Can Memorize. You know, I've never had a good memory. That's always been something I've struggled with. Never had a good memory, and I think this is a very comforting article. There are Bible verses that we can all memorize. Speaking of memory, sir, I don't recall. Have we met?
I was just saying. Yeah, you look familiar, brother.
Parker, right?
Yeah, Dave, right, Parker.
Dave Parker. My side. Actually, across from me here.
Yeah, really.
I can't see you, Dave. The microphone's in the way.
What's going on hiding here? Behind our screens here, you know.
How are you, brother?
I'm well. How are you, Gary?
Good. Always good to be with you here on the program.
Yes, likewise.
It's still dark out there.
Oh, it is. I was thinking about oh, yes. And it's going to be, well, for a while.
Yeah,
unless
that's
we
right.
move to the southern hemisphere.
That's right. But in the meantime, we're going to try to bring some light here on the program.
That's Dave, our mission.
We've got some good guests lined up, as I said. I always like having new guests on the program. And these two guests have never been on the show before. Becky Roach from Tamar, she has never been on the show before. So the Holy Spirit continues to send us some awesome guests.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, two new guests today. That's awesome. And then tomorrow,
I guess. That's right.
Wow.
That's right. So what's new in the life of Dave Parker?
Well, I'm better rested.
You got some sleep last night?
Yes, and the night before. Praise the Lord. Mm. And I hope you did too.
Yeah, I did.
But I'm well. I'm well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's funny. Sleep deprivation, we make light of it sometimes, but it's a serious problem. When you can't sleep.
Yeah.
And you have that frustration. You're trying to get to sleep, and you know you have to wake up, and that you're watching that clock. That is a very frustrating feeling.
I know. I was just going to say, I hearken back to the Monday was the show you came in and did that little, the 10 or 15 things.
Right.
I was thinking about that on the way up, you know?
Right.
I think I got the better of that whole deal right now because I – No caffeine after 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
That really affects you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Then I just try to not do any of that. And then just try to be calm, and I say my prayers and go to bed. You know?
That's always good. You know, Dave, I'm blessed that my wife Eileen makes fun of me sometimes, but I generally go right off to sleep. I mean, mm-hmm. Maybe it's due to the fact that I get up at 4 in the morning.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs>
But it's always been that way. But in the past, I've had problems where I would wake up in the middle of the mm-hmm. night. And that's why I've learned to turn to the Lord in prayer. And I really do that when I wake up. And sometimes I'll wake up in the night. Generally, I go to sleep very quickly. But if I wake up in the night, I talk to the Lord.
Yeah, so do I.
I used to spend hours awake at night mm-hmm. worrying about things.
Wow.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
And I know many people struggle with that. And I would recommend to do, as Dave was saying, if you do struggle with sleep and you wake up in the night and you can't get to sleep, use that as the opportunity to talk to the Lord. It's not just a figure of speech that mm-hmm. he's with us always. He's
Absolutely.
There. And he's, you know, he doesn't sleep.
Yeah. And he wants us to be well, you know, and for whatever on the human level, whatever's going on in our physiology that night or that day, our worries, too much caffeine, whatever it is,
yeah.
you know, just take some time. And the thing is, don't try too hard.
Exactly, because that doesn't work.
Yeah, we say, oh, come on, okay, now I'm ready.
Okay, here I go. Yeah. Right.
Doesn't work, folks, and no. We all know that. We can all relate to that.
Right.
So
aside from the spiritual value of prayer, mm-hmm. it also has the one of the effects of prayer is to relax us in a physical, relaxes us physically. So many people, and I've noticed this too, have said that when I begin to pray, I pray the rosary or something, a comforting prayer, I end up falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want to commend you. I mean, because you know your life has been plagued, or for lack of a better word, I mean, with your worry. But you are overcoming
well, thank you.
It. You have overcome, I mean, through prayer, and it's part of your growth. And I just
well, thanks for saying that, but it's really not me. It's really the Lord. I owe it all to him.
Well, exactly.
But it works. I mean, he's legitimate. He's
Absolutely.
Real.
Absolutely.
You know,
but you've made a lot of progress with the Lord and your growth. I have too, I hope, and hope we continue. You know, hope the Lord continues to bless us.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, Dave, though. When we turn to him in prayer, he helps us. I
mm-hmm.
mean, he really does. And he wants to have this relationship with us. That's why I get so frustrated when I see so many people around me. I know so many people who are suffering. They're mm-hmm. living lives of misery and hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know Jesus Christ personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons we wake up early to do this program, because we want to bring him into their lives.
Exactly.
We want
to share what worked for us and what is working going forward, hopefully into eternity, our Lord.
Amen, brother.
And but sometimes you say something, we say something to those people, and they're not ready for the
They're
message.
Not ready. Exactly. Not I wasn't ready for years.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear it. Yeah. You know, I was too busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to get up and go to work and all
right.
that. So, you know, when I was in the Army...
Mm-hmm.
But I still prayed. But then, I'm done. It was my finite period of window of prayer.
Interesting. Yeah.
But then I
almost
tried.
Like, with Dave, was it almost like checking off the box?
In a way, yeah.
I think some of us say, okay, I got to get my prayer in today. But
yeah.
I know you've evolved in the time I've gotten to know you,
yeah.
and I know I have as well, that we look forward to our prayer time.
Oh, yes. I long for it.
Right.
When I'm in one of those frenzied moments or whatever,
yep.
I'm thinking, oh, man, I wish I could just step away. And we can just step away
right.
out of the moment spiritually, psychologically, and center ourselves.
Yeah. Even if it's just stepping away for a few minutes, closing the office door, taking a walk, going
yeah.
in the car.
Exactly.
Or just closing our eyes for a few minutes and just saying, hey, Lord, please help me.
Beautiful.
You know? Quick look at the weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 52 degrees. Today we're going to have sunny with a high near 73. Tonight, clear, low around 54. Friday, sunny with a high near 75. At the moment in Coatesville, it's 42 degrees. At our Doylestown studios right here, it's 46 degrees. Mm-hmm. And in Trevos, it is 48 degrees.
Yes.
75, not too shabby.
I know. I love these days. I just love this stretch of weather.
Yeah.
What can I say?
It's brisk in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But then as the sun comes out, it's a nice temperature,
mm-hmm.
clear,
yes,
sunny.
Yes. And well, for Saturday for the conference,
yeah,
it's going to be the same as I understand it. So what a great gathering.
Absolutely. Looking forward to being there. Let's take a look at today's gospel. And you know, once again, if you look at most of the Gospels, we always tend to gravitate to the feel-good pieces of the Gospel. A lot of the words, Dave, that Jesus has for us, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it's much easier to hear the Lord say, I love you, be not afraid, all
exactly.
those good things.
Exactly.
But a lot of what he says is really hard. I mean,
that's
the beauty of our relationship with him. We've got to take everything. If we want to have a relationship with Jesus, we can't say, look, don't give me anything that's difficult. I don't want to hear any bad news. I just want to hear good stuff.
We can't be smorgasbord Christians.
But essentially, it's all good because he's leading us. And he has some harsh words today. So this is a bit of a setup. This is from Luke chapter 11, verses 47 through 54. Yeah. The Lord said, woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. When Jesus left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say. Here we go, Dave. You know, we can look at this in two different ways. We can look at this and say that when we proclaim the good news to others, when we proclaim the gospel, we're going to meet opposition. Some people will not want to hear what we have to say, which is true. We can also look at ourselves and recognize the fact that we ourselves don't want to hear it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear that I have to love my enemies when I'm in the mood, when I'm in a bad mood and I'm mad at my enemies.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear that.
Precisely.
I don't want to hear that I have to deny myself, pick up my cross daily and follow Christ in order to be his disciple. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear things that make me feel good.
Yeah.
But again, if we're going to have that true personal relationship, friendship with Jesus Christ, we have to hear it all.
And absolutely.
I can't close my ears to his message here, right?
Exactly. One of the things that struck me in that passage. Well, I think we're getting ready to go to break.
What struck you in the passage?
Oh, it was just like the saints. The saints were willing to lay it all down.
There you go. Great advice. When we come back, we're going to be talking about praying with a pen. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 19th. Today we celebrate Saints Isaac Jogues and John de Brebeuf and companions. Today's saints were the first martyrs on the North American continent. Each one answered the call to preach the gospel among the Huron Indians in the New World. Their faith and heroism planted belief in Christ's cross deep in our land. In 1636, Jesuit fathers Isaac Jogues, John de Brebeuf, and their companions arrived in Quebec from France. Given the existing intertribal rivalries and uniform hostility toward Christians, the missionaries were immediately at risk. Between the years 1642 and 1649, all were captured, tortured, and put to death. Following his initial capture and escape, Father Jogues briefly returned to France, where he was welcomed as a hero. But his zeal led him back once more to preach the gospel among the Hurons. John de Brebeuf was expelled for a time when the English captured Quebec, but he returned 4 years later. During his 24 years in Canada, he composed catechisms and a dictionary in Huron and received 7,000 converts into the church. The 8 Jesuit martyrs of North America were canonized in 1930. Today, they are honored by shrines in upstate New York and in Ontario, Canada. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
How can I build your kingdom if I'm building my own? How can you be my treasure if I'm digging for gold? Be my fire if my heart has grown cold. How can you be my future if I made this my home? How can I? How can I?
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was If I Don't Have You by Love and the Outcome. Great message in that song. I don't want the world. Lord, if I can't have you, if I can have everything else in the world, it doesn't mean a thing unless I can have you. Fortunately for us, we can have the Lord, and he wants to be a part of our lives. And I think our next guest is going to really help us. I love the topic of her book. The book is called Praying with a Pen, The Girlfriend's Guide to Stress-Free Prayer Journaling. Mary Beth Weisenberger is a magazine editor. She's a family humor columnist, and she's an author. We can find her online at prayingwithapen.com. And she's here to talk about her new book from Dynamic Catholic, Praying with a Pen. Mary Beth, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on this morning.
I am so excited to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
Mary Beth, you know, one of my favorite topics is how we can have a personal encounter with the Lord. You know, I think that's so important, and that's one of the things that I've struggled with through my life. A lot of times I went through the motions with prayer, but in the past 5-10 years, I don't know what it's been, I've realized that we can actually have a personal encounter with him, and it's something that is life-changing. In your book, Praying with a Pen, that's exactly what you talk about.
That's right, and it came as a surprise to me, Gary, also.
Yeah.
It was kind of an evolution for me as well. You know, I've been journaling for about 20 years.
Wow.
Prayer journaling, specifically for about 10 years.
Okay.
And what I would consider Catholic prayer journaling, using Catholic resources and devotionals, for probably the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest revelations to me was the fact that this was so simple. You know, yesterday you brought up you were talking a little bit about how we sometimes overcomplicate
yeah.
our spiritual
mm-hmm.
lives.
Yeah, right.
So easy to do. But really drawing nearer to God and developing a closer relationship with Jesus can be as simple as sitting down with a pen and a cheap notebook
in the
corner of a room in your house.
That is such a comforting thought, and I do believe that, because I'm one of those people who has overcomplicated my prayer life. I'm going to keep praying until I feel something, and it turns out I'm the guy doing all the work, and I forget that the Lord wants to do some work too.
That's right, and one of the things I point out in my book is that don't worry that when you sit down with your notebook and start prayer journaling that God won't show up, because God's already there waiting for you, and he's very delighted that you will sit down and try to connect with him just through a simple notebook and pen.
What a great thought. God is waiting for me, and he really cares that I'm going to spend some time with him. That's a very comforting thought. Mary Beth, I want to ask you a little bit about your story. You are a revert to the Catholic faith, is that correct? You left for a while?
I am a revert. I left the Catholic faith. I describe it as rather nonchalantly, abandoned the faith when I got married. Actually, probably started in college, like many stories like that begin.
Right, right.
And I attended a Protestant church with my husband for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really credit prayer journaling as part of the reason why I returned to the Catholic Church.
Wow. Now talk about that. How did you get started journaling? Was it through the Protestant church?
Well, I also give credit to my Protestant brothers and sisters, because one of the things that I envied when I was attending Protestant church is their ability to really talk comfortably and casually
yeah.
and pray off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that if I started integrating prayer into my journaling process in the morning, that I would get better at it. And little did I know, yes, I got better at it, and I got more comfortable with it, but it also opened the door, I think, to the Holy Spirit to come in and start cleaning house and softening my heart and really bringing an awareness of the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church's teachings back into my life.
That's an amazing story, and that's proof of the effectiveness of prayer, and also that, you know, I talk about this a lot because I've lived this for so many years, and I'm really passionate about it. The fact that we overcomplicate our prayer life sometimes, or thinking, or forget the basics, and the basics are. That if I pray, if I talk to the Lord in prayer, he'll answer. I mean, simple, but often forgotten.
Correct. And I think that one of the many benefits of prayer journaling, is that we can see right there in front of us in black and white how God has been speaking to us, how he's answered our prayers. We can see God's hand in our life. We can track it through the notebook that we're using and what I call the holy whispers that we get through our prayer journaling process.
Wow. There is so much I really want to get into. I have this, I have to confess, Mary Beth, I have this sneaky technique that I use. If I have a guest on the program and I really like the guest, I ask the guest on the air, will you come back on the show? So I'm going to ask you now, even before we're done the interview, I would like to have you on again so we could really explore this prayer journaling concept. Would you come back on again?
I would love to. It's a simple concept like we talked about, but there's so much
exactly.
to explore with it.
Exactly, and that's why looking at your book, there were so many details in there, and it changed my life. I'm going to tell you that right now. Looking at your book helped me, and I said, I need to get her on the show because there are so many things you talk about. So I wanted to get that out of the way just so you know we can explore it in more detail later. But for now, somebody's listening, and they say, I don't know how to journal. I don't know where to start. What do you tell that person?
Well, we cover that in the book because I talk to so many Catholic women who have that hesitation. They're searching for a way to further develop a personal relationship with Jesus, that they just don't know where to begin or how to begin, and they don't realize that they can cultivate such an extraordinary relationship in a very simple, ordinary way. And the whole goal of praying with a pen is just to provide that encouragement to those women. And men, I don't want to leave you out, Gary.
Well, I appreciate that.
And also provide tips and practical, real-world advice on getting over our hurdles and our objections and our hesitations. And it's all wrapped up in a Catholic context. And hopefully it will give that message to those busy women that they can feel confident as they begin a process of prayer journaling. And hopefully it'll be inspiring and a surprisingly fun read. It's not deeply theological or academic.
And I like that. I like it. But the book... Your book has substance in it, though. It's not superficial by any means, but it's a, I want to say a light read, but there's a lot of substance there, and it's practical.
Well, thank you. To God be the glory for all of it.
Amen. Amen. And now, before we finish, and again, I want to explore this in a lot more depth, because you have some very practical, concrete suggestions, but just on a surface level. You mentioned in the introduction, I think it was, that when you journal, not only are you putting your thoughts down or expressing your thoughts in prayer to the Lord, but He is answering you back. That is a wild concept.
It is.
But it's true, right?
But it's true. It's true. And I had to learn that for myself, because if somebody would have told me that, I'd be like, you know, I'd probably brush it off or think, oh, that's just true for them. But one of the great things, one of the benefits of putting this book together and compiling it was that I was able to get input from other women who have been prayer journaling as long as or longer than I have, and they say the same things.
Wow.
They have the same rewards and the same benefits. They have that increased sense of peace and contentment and gratitude, and they have a deeper understanding of their faith, and they're able to track God's hand in their lives more clearly and have gained more clarity in their lives. And most importantly, I think we've all learned how much God loves us and wants to be involved in our lives.
Wow. Well, I look forward to talking more about this. The book is Praying with a Pen, The Girlfriend's Guide to Stress-Free Prayer Journaling by Mary Beth Weisenberger. You can find her online at prayingwithapen.com. Mary Beth, I really want to thank you for joining us on the show today, and I look forward to really unpacking this book in future visits.
Thanks, Gary. I look forward to that also.
Thank you again. God bless you, my friend. Keep up the good work. I'll be in touch.
God bless.
That is Mary Beth Weisenberger. Dave Parker, I just pushed the wrong button. I muted myself on the microphone.
I know. That's a second, not a first. You did it one other time.
I know.
Anyways.
I know. That was a good interview.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was wonderful. You know what? When she said the Lord is, I love that too. The Lord is waiting for you. I thought of the prodigal.
Yeah.
Son and daughter.
Wow. Wow. You know? What a great thought.
Wow.
When we come back, Steve Weidenkopf is going to be talking about his new book, The Real Story of Catholic History. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The Department of Justice has announced settlements in dozens of suits against the HHS contraception mandate. The Catholic News Agency reports the agreement came October 13th between the government and the law firm Jones Day, which has represented more than 70 plaintiffs who will now not be forced to provide coverage for contraception, sterilization, and abortion-inducing drugs. Cardinal Donald Worrell of Washington sent a letter to his priests this week saying, quote, "This settlement brings to a conclusion our litigation challenging the Health and Human Services mandate, obliging our institutions to provide support for morally objectionable activities, as well as a level of assurance as we move into the future," end quote. A bipartisan group of governors is urging congressional leaders to support a plan to calm health insurance markets after President Donald Trump issued an executive order blocking federal subsidies to insurers. The letter, signed by 10 governors, says, quote, "Stabilizing insurance markets is one of the primary areas where Congress can take action to ensure that consumers have affordable health care options," end quote. And a multi-state manhunt that kept the Mid-Atlantic region on alert for more than 10 hours ended when officers on foot chased down a man they say shot six people, killing three in two separate shootings. Police in Maryland and Delaware say 37-year-old Radhi Prince shot five co-workers Wednesday at a granite company in Maryland, then drove to Wilmington, Delaware, and shot an acquaintance. Wilmington Police Chief Robert Tracy says police and federal agents arrested Prince in Wilmington. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. During an interview with me about his book, Living the Braveheart Life, screenwriter and author Randall Wallace cited two of his college professors as examples. Hilda and Mikhail Pavlov survived the siege of Leningrad during World War II, along with other hardships, so Wallace was surprised they lived with such vibrancy. He asked Mrs. Pavlov if she took anything with her when she left Russia, and she explained that three times in her life she had to leave a place immediately or she would die. She said, "I could take nothing with me, but I have no regrets." Wallace said, "It caused me to think about what we consider the necessary stuff, the material things in our lives." She had gone through the crucible of knowing that those things were unnecessary, that what made a life was love. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was How Great Thou Art by Matthias Michael. I'm Gary Zimek, and I want to thank you for tuning into the show today. The time right now is 7:36. One of the problems that we as Catholics encounter, and you may have experienced this in your own life, are the numerous myths about the Catholic faith. So many things that are believed about our Catholic faith are actually not true. How is it that we can counter these myths as we run into them in our daily lives? Well, there is a new book out from Catholic Answers Press, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. Steve Weidenkopf is the author. He currently teaches church history at Christendom College, Graduate School of Theology. He's the author also of The Glory of the Crusades. And he is here with us now to talk about some of these anti-Catholic myths. Steve, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Great book, Steve.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Why is it that there are so many myths about the Catholic faith?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of it has to do just with, because the church is the mystical body of Christ. I mean,
right.
Christ himself was persecuted, so
yep.
Therefore the church is going to be persecuted, right? Not only in her members, right, as we know throughout history, violent persecution at times, sometimes nonviolent persecution, but
yeah.
Even in the intellectual sphere, right, there's going to be persecution. And that's, I think, where these many myths come from. It's always, all these myths have their underlying function is to try to discredit the church, to get her out of the public sphere, to question her authority, so that people won't believe and won't enter into that beautiful relationship with Jesus and his church.
And a lot of these myths, looking through the book, I was going through one after another saying, I've heard this before. I've heard it so many times. And after a while, people just start to believe these myths, which can be refuted with historical evidence.
Exactly, and that's one of the big focus of my work, actually, is to try to illustrate, first of all, that what many people believe about church history and Catholic history in particular are false narratives, and that there's a lot of research that has been done in the academic community over the last 40-50 years to overturn many of these myths, and unfortunately a lot of that information still just exists in the academic community and hasn't gotten out to a wider audience, and that's part of what I'm trying to do with this book and my other work is to dispel those myths and give people, especially Catholics, the knowledge, the information they need to dispel them and to defend the church when she's attacked.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to remember that while we should be willing and ready and willing to refute these myths, because Scripture tells us that God wants everyone to come to know the truth, we've got to do it in a loving way. That's challenging sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. And, a lot of the things that I find when I talk to people and I present and give talks in different parishes and things like this to others is I encourage them to do that, first of all. Right? You have to listen to the other person, first of all, find out where they're coming from, because
right.
Most of the time,
mm-hmm.
Many of the things that they're saying about the church, they've just heard. So
right.
They're just repeating them. They're not malicious
yeah.
in their own intent. And so we as Catholics and defenders of our church have to, first of all, recognize that point. You know your audience. I mean, sometimes you might run into people who are, you know, very violent anti-Catholic, who mm-hmm. are, you know, have an animus against the church and really are attacking her. But most of the time, you know, people are just, you know, ignorant, not through their own fault, right? They just hear these things on the media. They mm-hmm. hear it on movies. They read them in different history books. They've been taught these things, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they're just repeating it. So we just have to lovingly, you know, challenge them and give them things to think about and provide the authentic history in a loving and charitable way, as you say.
Now the book is broken down into different sections, and you go chronologically. The first section is on the early church, and you mentioned that although there are many anti-Catholic historical myths that exist about the era of the early Christian church, they all share a common theme, which you said earlier, trying to prove that it was not the Catholic Church. You say those who embrace and advocate myths about the early church fall into two different groups, and I found this interesting, modern secular humanists and Protestants.
Yes, yeah, you know, let's take the second group first, I guess.
Right.
You know, for Protestants, I mean, you have to kind of step back and think it from their perspective, right? So they have to try to explain intellectually and historically how it is that their movement is an authentic representation of the Christian faith when it comes 1,500 years after Christians have been living
exactly.
for a long period of time, right?
Yeah.
So many of the ways in which they do that is they formulated, and these start back in the 16th century, so it's not like modern Protestants are coming up with these, but, you know, the one way they have to do that is to try to show or illustrate that the mm-hmm. early church was something different from the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've developed all these different false narratives and false myths about the church from that era. You know, that somehow when the church changed in the 4th century, for example, when Constantine came to power as Roman Emperor,
mm-hmm.
he instituted all these changes, and so the myths kind of just gravitate from there. And the other category, the modern secular humanists, you know, their focus is to, you know, again, discredit the church in the modern world and to really regulate her to just the private, you know, the sphere of private life. That the church should not speak out, you know, on any kind of political issue, social issue, moral issue. And so they use the myths from the other perspective of trying to prove, for example, that Jesus wasn't a real person, that, you know, all the things that Christians believe have come from these, are borrowed from either pagan sources or from, you know, Eastern mystery cults or Egyptian religions and things like that.
Yeah, well, let's tackle that first myth then. Jesus was not a real person. Rather, he was a mythical figure created by Christians. That's one that I haven't really encountered as much as the people who say, well, the church isn't the real Christian. The Catholic Church is not the real church founded by Christ. But talk a little bit about that, if you could, Steve. Jesus was not a real person. How do we defend that one?
Yeah, so that myth, actually, there's a whole group of people, actually, that believe this myth, and they call
wow.
themselves mythicists,
huh.
Frankly. And, you know, they base their argument on different kinds of elements. You know, one, that they try to argue the New Testament was not historically reliable, that there's no, you know, contemporary Christian written account, or no contemporary accounts, rather, written about of Jesus. And then, again, that element I mentioned earlier, that the Christian faith is somehow modeled on pagan roots. And the best way, I think, in order to really dispel that particular myth is to focus on the fact of looking at the early church. Go back to the beginnings of the church and see that the Roman pagan authors who were criticizing the church to try to prevent Romans from joining the church, they never doubted the existence of Jesus.
Wow.
All of those early non-Christian sources all recognized that Jesus was real. I mean, that he was this Jew living in Palestine, Judea,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this early part of, you know, the history of the church, and that he was arrested and persecuted and killed by Pilate. They all acknowledged that. They had different takes on, and they never saw that the church was drawing elements, or Christians were drawing elements from pagan faith through Egyptian cults. Rather, there was one in particular, Roman author, Celsus, who, you know, had issues with the church because it was too, he said it was too new. It was too much of a new movement. It didn't have enough ancient pagan you know, sources to it. and pagan, you know, and early Christian writers, the church fathers and others, and apologists, all went out of their way to illustrate to the Roman society how different the faith was from paganism.
Mm. And these are non-Christian sources documenting
exactly.
the existence of Jesus.
Yes.
That's powerful stuff.
Yeah. It is, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, I mean, that really is something to be considered. And if somebody doubts the existence of Christ, if we run into somebody like this, or even if, you know, I mean, there have been Christians that I know that I've met who think they have crises in faith at times and think, well, did Jesus really exist? You know, and something like this is a way to prove that.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it always happens every time around, you know, Easter, you always get the CNN story.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, oh, we found this ossuary of bones as Jesus, or, oh, you know, the apostles made this all up. I mean, it's an annual thing. So.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll get ready. The book is The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths, new from Catholic Answers Press by our guest, Steve Weidenkopf. Steve, I definitely want to have you back on. Can we get you back on the show to really unpack some more of these myths?
Oh, I'd love to do that, Gary. Absolutely, yes.
The best place to purchase a copy of the book, Steve?
Yeah, two places. You can go to Catholic Answers' website, which is just catholic.com,
okay.
And go to their online shop, since they're the press that published it, and then it's available on Amazon as well, if people want to prefer that.
Excellent, and I will have that information linked on our website, spiritinthemorning.com. Hey, my friend, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. I'll be in touch. We'll get you back on to talk about some of these other myths.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Gary. You have a good day now.
You too. God bless you, my friend. That was Steve Weidenkopf. Dave Parker, that was a good segment.
Yes, I can't wait for the next segments.
I mean, he's got dozens
wonderful.
Of these myths in here, and he goes through various phases of church history, and obviously there are people out there who want to discredit the church in many ways, so that we won't have that relationship with the Lord that he wants us to have.
Absolutely. Well, what he unpacked, basically, I was in the first group. I was a Protestant, if you know that. You know the story. I'm a convert.
Right.
But, yes, so true, so true. And that fascinated me about the mythicists.
Yeah.
Say that fast three times.
I can't. I'm not even going to try it. Anyway.
Anyways, more to follow.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. I mean, that's such a powerful book, The Real Story of Catholic History from Catholic Answers Press. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? Trials of this life are your mercies in disguise. We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life, your mercy's in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Blessings by Laura Story. So many times when things that are unpleasant occur in our lives, we don't treat them as blessings. But what we have to remember, and I know this is not easy to do, is that anything that happens to us, anything, good or bad, is something that the Lord is allowing to happen, right? So if he's allowing some suffering to enter into your life, there is a benefit for it. From it. It's sometimes tough to find it. That's what I like about that song. It reminds us of that fact. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse ties in nicely with that theme. It comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. I form the light and create the darkness. I make well-being and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, sometimes you can get yourself into trouble. And you have to be careful with the way you think about this. Remember, God is all-powerful. He can do anything. So if he allows something, even a tragedy, to happen in your life, that can somehow benefit you. If you look at the crucifixion of Christ, we see that that resulted in our redemption. So there is some benefit there. But a lot of times, Dave,
Yes, Gary.
Suffering in our lives is not directly caused by God. Mm-hmm. But he allows it to take place. So, for instance, if you attack me in a way that's evil,
yes,
that's not something that God necessarily willed, but he's allowing it to happen, and he can bring good out of it. And sometimes we don't want to blame him we could go overboard with that and blame him for...
It comes more from our will, our selfish will. Yeah, because if for whatever reason I'm ticked off at you
exactly.
And I attack you.
Right.
It's not him.
No.
That's not God.
Right.
It's me.
It's your free will
it's
and your abuse of that free will.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But God allowed that to happen, and he can still draw good from it.
Yeah.
And again, it's a challenging thing, because so many times when we are suffering, we lash out at him and we say, how can you do this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And he's not...
In a way, that was my first thought.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't mean to step on your
line. No, no.
But I was thinking, wow, when we have, as you said, the good, both the good and the bad. When the good happens, boy, we thank him.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Lord. But then the bad comes... And I think we're very reluctant to we question like why did that happen to
right.
me? Why did you allow that?
Right. Which is a valid question. I mean that dialogue
yes.
is a good thing, Lord. Why?
Mm-hmm.
But I would try to if
yeah.
give him the benefit of the doubt. How about that?
Yeah.
When these things happen, because he allows. I look in my own life when I've experienced different hard times, different
mm-hmm.
sufferings. My job layoff
mm-hmm.
6 years ago. These all turned out to be blessings,
absolutely,
although at the
yeah.
time they didn't feel like it.
Yeah, it's like, ouch.
You know, right.
It hurts. It
right.
really does. I mean, beyond ouch. And the one thing that struck me, I make well-being and create woe. And I said, whoa, like, and hold it. Yeah, and it's, we have to take the good with the bad.
Exactly. And ultimately, there is no greater example of this, as I mentioned, than the crucifixion. The murder of the Son of God resulted in our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the gates of heaven were open.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
the ultimate example of how God can bring good out of anything. Mm-hmm. Now, if we are suffering, what can we do? We can offer up our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We can unite our suffering with the Lord, and he's going to use that.
Yeah.
So there's a potential benefit from any suffering we're going through. And I'm not trying to downplay it.
Yeah.
I know some people who are listening are going through some really, really tough
Absolutely.
Times.
And in the last couple of weeks, remember, it seemed like there was a recurring theme of the redemptive suffering.
Right, yeah.
And I think it's good. And the other concept or idea I had is like when we have the bad, I mean— God is maybe burning off the sins. I mean, we're in the crucible.
Yeah.
He's helping to form us and get rid of the bad through that suffering. And we only sometimes realize it later.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And if you're going through it right now, you might be saying, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And
exactly.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand when you're going through it, it's very hard
yeah, we've been
to
there
remain open
in
yeah.
our lives. All of us have.
Yeah. And it's something that is an ongoing process. But what I have found, Dave, is that the more you get to know the Lord, the more you get to know him
mm-hmm.
on a personal level, you talk to him, you have that relationship with
mm-hmm.
him, the more willing you are to give him the benefit of the doubt and
Absolutely.
Say, all right, Lord, I'm not happy with what's going on right now, but you know what? I know you love me, and
mm-hmm.
I know somehow this is going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dan Burke made the point a couple of weeks ago when he
yes.
talked about redemptive suffering, it's okay, and God expects us to say, Lord, take this suffering away, please.
Oh, yeah.
And do what you can to alleviate the suffering. Go to the doctor if you're sick or whatever.
By all means,
But
yes.
then if it persists,
yes.
then at that point offer it up and try to say, okay, Lord, are you trying to teach me something?
Yeah, and we have two choices, basically. Either we wallow in our self-pity, or we just, you know, we go ahead and step out in faith and say, Lord,
yep.
I know this is, I believe it's for my good. I don't feel it.
I don't feel it, yeah.
Now, but I know you love me.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes yeah. from, as the relationship grows, that comes with time. It's not
Absolutely.
A overnight thing. It's a process.
It is a process.
I trust him more now than I did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully 5 years from now, if I'm still around, God willing, I'll
mm-hmm.
trust him even more. It's an
yes.
ongoing process.
Yes, yes it is.
Because there are still times when I give the Lord a hard time when I'm not happy about
what?
Something.
What's Mac? Really?
But you know what? We have that kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
That it's okay to do that.
That's what he wants.
He's
our father. We are his child.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I just threw my notes across
Here,
the floor.
Take mine.
That's all right. Good thing I don't need them. Well, Dave Parker, I think it's about time to bring this show to a close.
Yes, I think so too, Gare. Go ahead.
No, you go first.
It was a very good show. I love
yes.
it.
Some good guests on the program. You're going to hear them back on the show again, without a doubt. Tomorrow, remember, on the program, we're going to be talking to Becky Roach about 15 Bible verses Catholics can memorize, even for those of us who have bad memories. And Kelly Walquist, the founder of Women in the New Evangelization,
Can't
Wine.
Wait for that. Yes.
She's going to be live in the studio with us. So.
And what did you share with me on the break? Are you going to bring the donuts?
We are bringing donuts in. I said, Kelly, if you wake up early to come on the program, to come in the studio, I'm going to bring donuts and coffee.
All right. Wow.
So, yeah, I'm going to go all out tomorrow.
God bless you,
and then,
my brother.
So tell me what kind of donut you want, Dave, and we'll talk about that.
Off air.
Also, remember that you've got us for one extra day this week. We're going to be live from the Women in the New Evangelization National Conference on Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live at 7 a.m., so make sure you tune in for that. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. So just turn around and say hi. Have a great day. God bless you.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating